In the name of one God, Holy Trinity, Amen. I'm sensitive to the fact that what we say as religious people, the religious language that we use, is sometimes problematic or troubling for people, especially people who don't go to church or people who have negative experiences in church. And I'm sensitive to that reality because I've, from time to time, am the object of derision or fear or anxiety or scorn when I encounter people. I've met so many new people in the last 6 months, and sometimes, as admittedly as a bit of a game, I like to sort of play around with how I might introduce myself, and people will ask me that question that people tend to ask. So, Jimmy, what do you do? And you know, the response could be, well, I'm an Episcopal priest and I'm the rector of St. John's Episcopal Church, and that draws up in them whatever it draws up in them. But from time to time, I like to say, well, you know, I'm the head of a medium-sized nonprofit. We are varied in the way that we serve the community. We run a thrift store that provides low-cost clothing, that recycles low-cost clothing for the community. We also operate a preschool, and then we partner with a food cupboard and a direct service nonprofit agency that helps those who are disempowered or in need of care or service. We also provide library snacks for kids in an after-school program who are underserved, and we partner with the recovery communities in Jackson. And we also offer spiritual formation for an intergenerational community of people who desire it, whoever wants to come. And they're like, wow, that's awesome. What's it called? Like, it's called St. John's Episcopal Church. Even in my own life, there are certain words or phrases that come forth from the biblical text that stop me dead in my tracks. And you'd think, or at least I would think, that as much time as I've spent in my life immersed in the biblical text, that nothing would stop me short or hold me up or surprise me at this point. But it happens, and it happens a lot. And it's never really love or kindness or compassion that holds me up. It's never the beautiful things that give me pause, but the things that are more severe, or at least have been interpreted as more severe. Things that to me sound what I would call overly religious. And this week the Bible stops me in my tracks. Again, Jesus is moving now in the story. He's been born, he's been raised, he's been baptized and had his identity confirmed. And now he's on the road moving into the mission that God has entrusted to him, the one that he was made for, both literally and metaphorically. And we can watch him build his team one or two people at a time. But it's this verse 17 from Matthew's gospel that holds me up. He says, from that time, Jesus began to proclaim, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. When he says stuff like that, Mr. Jesus, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near, it gives me pause. I can feel myself start to shut down, start to close a little bit because of the way these phrases have been interpreted over the years, or at least over the last couple hundred years. These things to me sound overly religious. Sometimes they sound oppressively religious. Now the funny thing is that I know better. I mean, in my mind, I know what these words and phrases mean in my mind from my own academic and practical efforts, and yet I still have this emotional response to the words Jesus says as I read them or as I hear them read aloud in church. Maybe you have a similar reaction to words or phrases like this, or maybe they don't bother you at all. I don't want to make too much about the distress that these sentences cause, because after all, they do make me think. They activate my mind. So here's what I know. I know these phrases have been inappropriately interpreted over time, some for long periods of time. I know this word, repent, means something different than what we hear because of the inappropriate or inaccurate translations over time. I know this word in its original language is metanoia. When we talked about it just in the second week of Advent, when we were listening to John the Baptist yell at us, metanoia is simply a changed mind, a new perspective, a new paradigm. That's what repent means, to change one's mind, to change one's perspective, to live with some measure of self-awareness and some measure of empathy. Wonderful definition of repent that Dallas Willard gives is review your strategy for living. And I like that. It resonates. I like the idea that Jesus, as he begins his mission, as he's gaining momentum, sharpening his message, drawing together his team, that's what he's asking of people. Review your strategy for living. That, in fact, is what Jesus is asking of me. That is what Jesus is asking of you, of us, to take stock, to take an inventory of our actions and beliefs and relationships, to have some consciousness about our lives, that Jesus might be calling us to live more mindfully, or to borrow a phrase from Jackson and really the heart of St. John's Episcopal Church, Jesus is calling us to live with civility, compassion, and love. The expectation, of course, of repentance would likely be amendment of life, yes? That we would experience some change, that in the review we would find something that needs an adjustment. Likely not something that's so dramatic, but I guess perhaps. But I would think just being open to repentance or being open to review our strategy for living suggests some measure of emotional or psycho-spiritual health, some measure of maturity. We aren't perfect. We never will be. We don't even aspire to be perfect, but we're healthy enough to take stock, to take an inventory, or to ask for help. What would that look like practically? Something like, I'm kind, but how might I live with and around more kindness? I'm generous, but how might I live with and around more generosity? I'm loving, but what might I do to cultivate more love in the lives of those around me and in my own life? Those are the authentic, the real questions of repentance, and they don't hang me up at all. They don't stop me dead in my tracks. Rather, I find them energizing and informative. And though we sit in the third week of Epiphany, the act of repentance is Lenten, isn't it? It is reviewing our strategy for living. And that's not all Jesus says in the 17th verse of the 14th chapter of Matthew's gospel. He says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. And over the course of the last 10 years, I've gotten more and more used to the way that Jesus talks about heaven over and against the way the church has talked about it, at least for the last few hundred years. Jesus doesn't sit in the camp that heaven is a place in the by and by after we die, but that heaven is something that is upon us. Or heaven is perhaps something we experience when we're living and after we're living too. And I can get on board with that relatively easily. The kingdom of heaven has come near. That's not all Jesus says about heaven. He says it's at hand. He says it's now. Right now. Right now. There's a distinct difference between that and meeting St. Peter at the pearly gates when we draw our last breath. I think there's some measure of skill involved too, some real practice, some awareness that we have to develop in order to be able to live into what Jesus is talking about. We have to develop what I would call eyes for the kingdom, to be able to see heaven when it's breaking through. It could be in that tender moment when someone we care about is suffering or in need of our love. It could be as simple as that blue bird powder day in the mountains. It could be gazing at a piece of art that transports us to another place, which is beautiful, or it could be seeing the masses demand that we respect the dignity of every human being. I guess what I'm trying to get out here is I don't think Jesus is just talking. I don't think he's trying to scandalize us or make us feel badly about ourselves, our choices, past or present. He's offering us this real invitation, an invitation to live a different, a qualitatively better life. And maybe we've caught glimpses of that life along the way, or maybe we haven't. Maybe we feel as though we've already lived life and our line is fixed. I hope not. But maybe. I know that Jesus knows there is always more love to give, more love to spread. Jesus is interrupting our fixed thinking. He's going to do it more and more and more in the coming weeks of this story. He's going to get more specific about what that blessed life looks like. And many times it's an ironic blessing when you compare it over and against what the world thinks being blessed is. And you know, these stories that we will hear over the coming weeks are ones we've heard before, 100%. I promise you, nothing new. Nothing new. But maybe we direct our efforts toward hearing them differently, hearing them again for the first time. I think you could even say if we repent, if we are reviewing our strategy for living, if we are intent upon hearing these stories in the mindset of repentance, these stories will come alive for us in a way that we might never have imagined. Instead of reproach, these stories bring beauty, decency, meaning, character, hope, That is the light of the season of Epiphany. Amen.